You've got episode 34 of the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your favorite podcast host, Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm going to bring you in this episode the one and only Larry Hagner. Back in 2012, Larry had an idea, and that idea was to impact this world in a huge way by impacting the individual lives of fathers. Today, you will realize the impact of that idea as he has worked hard partnering with his wife to bring us at least three things that you can tap into to get an idea of what it is that he has done. One is his podcast, the Dad's Edge podcast. One is a mastermind called the Dad's Edge Alliance Mastermind. And another thing is a powerful website. And it's all geared to helping fathers live legendary lives so that the future generations are better for it. Larry's story is incredible. I'm blessed to be able to take it in and share it with you. You aren't going to want to miss a second of this, so I'll shut up so that we can get to it. Buckle in, because we're going for a ride with Mr. Larry Hagner. Hello, thanks for tuning into the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the Upgraded Life. All right, welcome to another episode of the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo, and with you today and with us today, I have a man that I have grown to know, like, and trust, and love over the past 2 years. His name is Mr. Larry Hagner, and he has all kinds of things going on, but ultimately the common thread there is that he is helping men be better husbands, fathers, and leaving a legacy for the generations to follow. That's his mission statement. That's the golden thread as I see it through all the things that you're doing. So Mr. Larry Hagner, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Dude, it is an honor. I love you like a brother, man. Known you for 2 years, so much respect for you and what you do, what you stand for. And not to mention the fact that you are like brilliant when it comes to advice. So thank you back for all you do.
Absolutely. So I know your story, and there's a lot of people out there that know your story because, again, you have a super awesome podcast and it's got a rebranding, right? It was the Good Dad Project for a while. Now what is it? Was it called officially?
So officially called the Dad Edge Podcast. And eventually I think, you know, we might reroute everything to dadedge.com. I'm not really sure yet. I own those domains. So we might put everything in line with the same branding, not to confuse people. But yeah, gooddadproject.com is where everything is. But Dad Edge is more, I would say, the movement, the brand, and what we do.
Awesome. And how long ago did this start, Dad Edge?
You know, it started 2000, I would say officially started 2012. That's when I launched Good Dad Project on a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And it was basically just a way to keep myself publicly accountable to go out and learn something new every day because I was struggling so terribly as a father and as a husband. And then since it got a little bit of traction, I decided to purchase a domain, gooddadproject.com, and start a blog. And that's where I would say everything started. And it's pretty much kind of snowballed from there.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I've been, as you know me, I do a lot of reading, and I'm a podcast junkie and addict. And I've noticed some trends. And you're fitting in that trend, and this is going to be a total, you know, side juncture to what I usually talk about on this show, but there's a whole clutch of people that were swept up in the 2008 crash. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And really 2008 was, kind of at the peak of blogging, you know, somewhere in there, blogging was really kind of the vehicle for doing things online. And there was a bunch of people that were swept up in that crash in 2008, and they are out there writing books now. They're out there leading seminars, doing workshops, putting project or, you know, products out there for consumption. You've had several of them on your podcast, right? Grant Sabatier is one of them, right? And Financial Freedom in his book, but he's one of those that was swept up in the, you know, the 2008 crash. Do I really want to be in corporate America the rest of my life? And what am I, what is this really all going to amount to? And I'm just loving kind of really diving deep into these people. And Pat Flynn is one of them that was swept up in 2008. There's just a, and I'm working with one for my branding coach as well, Gregory Deal. He was swept up in 2008. So I see you kind of as, you know, kind of the Gen 2 in there, right? I mean, 2012 kind of saying, hey, what can we do differently with what we have in this time left on this earth? And, you know, the podcast is, you know, 2010, I guess, was the advent of the podcast, right? And so I don't know when you started your podcast, but so I kind of see you as Gen 2, and you're doing a lot of those same things in terms of putting your brand out there and your products out there and building your audience. And anyway, I just kind of like seeing those patterns and then just now recognizing that, hey, you're kind of second generation of people kind of out there doing their thing. Have you recognized that? And does that make sense to you?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, cause I never actually thought of it quite like that as far as like the 2008, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense now that I think about those people that you mentioned in their podcasts. For me, it was just like, I think I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know? And to be honest, I never ever thought in a million years that this would become an organization. It was a side project for therapy, really. Right. It was a side project just to keep myself accountable and to learn something new. Never ever expected it. I even when I started in 2012, I never really thought it was going to be a podcast. I mean, that was like the first. Even when I started in 2012, I never thought it'd be a blog. I just was like, oh, just do this, you know, be fine. And I don't know. And it's just sort of developed into what it is today, which I guess, you know, it's more of a community and organization, maybe even a movement. And, but it's been just a phenomenal education. It's, I always say this, you know, doing the podcast is like a front row seat to an incredible and invaluable education.
Absolutely. Yeah. So paint us your picture, 2012, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You said that you were failing miserably as a husband and father. What was going on back then? Paint us that picture.
I was beating my wife. I was doing crack cocaine and, you know, hitting my kids with chains and wrenches. And
that's it.
Yeah, that's all. So no, you know, I grew up really, half my childhood was spent without a father figure and half my childhood was spent with a father figure that was usually toxic. So my mom was married 3 times. She dated men. So men were always in and out of my life. None of them were, I would say, father figure material, you know, as far as like, there was always some element of toxicity, alcohol, drugs, not to the point to where it's like, you know, people were, you know, sketched out on heroin or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of crazy things going on. And the guys were just not necessarily, I would call, men of integrity, men of good character. So half of it was spent, you know, when my mom was single, and then half of it was spent with whoever she was dating or married. So really for me, I got a front row seat as a kid of a lot of lessons of what not to do. But what I found very, very quickly, and you probably already know this because of your 20 years of experience and you being, you know, obviously Dr. Sotelo, and, you know, but it takes the rest of us slow learners a little bit longer to learn. But I learned a lot of what not to do, which is a terrible way to learn, because it's almost like the podcast I was on before yours, I was like, it's almost like being a construction worker and someone tells you, hey, go build a house and here's 100 ways not to build it. Right. And you're just like, okay, that's great, but how do I do it? So knowing not what to do is not, you have to still have a point in the right direction of what to do. And in 2012, I had a 6-year-old at the time. I had a 4-year-old at the time, both boys. I have all boys now. I have 4 now. But I really was that typical man. You know, I was living, I would say, quiet life of desperation, where I wanted to be a good father so badly. I had that deep desire. And I just had no direction, which left me very, very frustrated, which left me very, very impatient. I ended up throwing all my attention into my career because that's where I got all my attaboys. That's where I got all my validation. That's where I got those good annual reviews and like, yeah, you're doing great. And that's where you got the promotions. So it's like, that was one area of my life where I'm like, man, this feels good. Like I'm doing a good job. Marriage, it was almost like, okay, how do I know if I'm doing a good job? Well, I'm impatient. I don't really feel like I'm connecting with her. So obviously probably not doing such a great job. That didn't feel very good. Same thing with fatherhood, trying to raise a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. You know, it's like raising two drunk people at home, like just some of the things that they do and say, and you're just like, and it does test you. It tests you a lot. And what I found was, is that I was very frustrated a lot. I was very impatient a lot. I had a hot temper. And I would say the night that I started Good Dad Project, I had a very dark, dark moment. And I've still, to this day, 8 years later, I still have dark moments. But I had a dark moment that really started this whole process. And that dark moment was we were packing our house, getting ready to move. And I hate moving. Like literally, we're in the last house I think we'll ever be. I tell my wife all the time, we'll be buried in our backyard because I hate moving. Like that just stresses me out. So we were packing up one of our rooms. I was packing up the kids' playroom one night. I had a few beers in me. I was pissed. I was like, tough day at work. You know, I'm just like, just in a bad mood. My 4-year-old comes in the playroom and I told him, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go take a break. When I come back, please, please don't pull out anything. Dad's been packing the room all day or all night. So I come back and what does he do? Like half of everything is just pulled out. It's scattered. And 4 years old, I spanked him. I spanked him so hard he hit the ground. And that really tore me up because it wasn't the fact that I spanked him. It was the fact that I spanked him so hard he hit the ground. And then I went to go help him up and he shuddered. And I was like, and I no longer saw my son. I saw me. Because that kind of stuff, you know, I was raised with an iron fist, depending on who my mom was with. And I was like, oh my gosh, I saw that look in his eyes. And I was just like, I am literally doing exactly what I always said I would never do. And here I am doing it.
Right.
So I went into my office that night. I was really emotional. I kind of call that more, I guess, my Jerry Maguire moment where he's up late and he's like, man, I'm just sick and tired of working for this company where we're giving very low quality attention and we're all about getting more and more clients and more revenue. And I don't feel like that's in line with my integrity. And that's what I felt like. I was like, this operating like this, I feel like is no longer in line with my integrity, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what good looks like. So I was up late that night and I went on Facebook just to distract myself from what just happened. And I saw this thing in the left-hand corner said, create a page. And I don't know what it was. I mean, I'm a spiritual person, so maybe I'd call it divine intervention. But I clicked on that and it said, create a page. And I don't know what it was, but the words Good Dad Project just rolled off my mind and heart and onto the keyboard. And I just thought to myself, I was like, you know what? And at that point in time, I was the project. Like, I was like, I need to be a good dad, so I'm a project. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to create this public page and I'm just going to go out and learn something new every day. That's it. I'm just going to go out and learn something new every day. And I'm just going to post it here. And I don't care who reads it. I don't care how many followers I get. It's just going to be my way of holding myself to a higher standard to learn something. Mm-hmm. And I started posting things there. And then it got some traction and more followers. And I got messages. And one message was from a mom's group at a church. And they're like, hey, we've been following your page for quite some time. We have a little mom conference coming up. We want you to come out and speak.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, how many moms are you talking about? Like 20 or what? She's like, no, there's about 250 of us. I'm like, you want me to speak in front of 250 people on fatherhood? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, have you read my page? Like, I am not an expert. Like, I am just a regular dude who's just trying to be better. They're like, yeah, well, that's what we like about it. We like that you're not a guru. You know, you're just an everyday dude who's just, you're just trying to inspire yourself and others. And that's really all we want. I was like, well, what do you want me to speak about? And they're like, I don't know. Just come and speak to us. Day in the life of dads. And I'm like, okay. So I did. And it was fun. I had a really good time. I just tried to more make it humorous. And that got a lot of traction. I got asked to do another one and then another one and then wow. another one. And
yeah.
And then I was just like, well, gosh, you know, maybe this is going somewhere. And then a year later, I was like, well, maybe I'll, I don't know, instead of a Facebook thing, maybe I'll start a blog, you know, just write, did that. And that got, I would say, hardly any traction because it was a blog and I didn't really enjoy writing. I think I probably posted 2 blogs a month. That wasn't a lot. And then I was like, you know, I think I want a podcast because writing is a little bit tough for me and speaking to having conversations with people feels better. So sure. 2015, that's when we launched podcast.
Wow. So you've been at this for 8 years then?
8 years. Wow. Still C plus student. So
still learning every day.
Oh yeah. Still, you know, some days are really, really good and you go to bed and you're like, yeah, good day. Mm-hmm. And some days are like, wow, I think I'll just start over again tomorrow.
So what's been a couple of the, you know, the highlights of things that you've learned about fatherhood since this all started for you?
Wow. So I would say the highlights that I have learned is how to be a better husband. That's been key. I really look at my relationship with my wife, Jessica, as that's the foundation of our family. That's the foundation that our family is built on. The boys live within the house, but she and I are the foundation. And so I've learned communication. I've learned self-care and how important that is. If I'm not taking care of me, then I cannot possibly take care of her in a better way or the kids. I used to feel extremely guilty taking care of myself. I don't anymore because I know that if I don't take care of myself, I'm doing them a disservice. I've learned more about partnership. So like the more business side of our marriage, who does what, who's got what roles. The friendship is so important. Being friends with my wife is so important and how to develop that. And then intimacy, lovers, you know, physical affection. But the other thing too, the foundation of all those things is the communication, how to communicate with your woman, the needs of her, the needs of me, and how we can fulfill those needs. So marriage has been a big one. Being a parent, I got to be honest, like we always talk about the 5 dimensions in the mastermind, right? Which is mastering the finances, optimizing your health, creating a marriage, connection with your kids, and being a leader. And my Achilles heel of those 5 things is being a parent because it's still hard for me. Yeah. It's very, very hard for me. It tests me every single day. And raising 4 boys, like I was telling my wife last night, for the past 2 weeks, I have felt very defeated as a father lately because I was just like, I feel like I'm always letting someone down. Like if I say yes to 1, I'm saying no to 3. If I say yes to 3, I'm saying no to 1. If I say yes to them, I'm saying no to you. If I say yes to you, I'm saying no to them. I was like, you know, like even last night, my 12-year-old wanted to go. It was like 8 o'clock at night. I was trying to wind down our other 2 little kids. Getting them ready for more bed. We were outside on our deck. We were listening to some music. I was reading them books. And my 12-year-old was just in my ear like, Dad, can we go out in the front? Can we ride scooters? Can we throw the football around? And I looked at him and I was like, no, I don't want to do that tonight. I want to have like a peaceful night on our deck, sunset, reading the kids' books. And he's like, but Dad, like this is boring. Like I want to go out. And there was every part of me that's like, yeah, I should say yes. But if I say yes to him, then I'm saying no to the books
right. With
my littles. And it's just like, man, I feel like I can't win. So, but when it comes to fatherhood, just do the best I possibly can. The thing that really, really is important to me is the connection with them. Because as you know, we've said this quote a lot, without connection, you have no influence. So I'm really trying to always cultivate that connection with them. You know, my Achilles heel is patience. Which raising 4 boys, patience gets tested constantly, which is such an imposter syndrome thing because I just launched a course on patience and yet that's what I struggle with. Right. So, but I think sometimes, as you know, I think the things that we want to teach are the things that we ache so bad to master. And maybe perhaps that's why we dive so hard into it and we try to teach it so we can master it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, patience. Connection with my boys for sure has those 2 areas, marriage and connection with the kids, have been the 2 biggest.
Sure. Appreciate that. And I love those highlights because you say you're a C+ student, but you're also teaching a lot of men. Right. And I know it's part of your personal mission is to, you know, change the face of fatherhood in a positive way. And, And, you know, I believe that you're definitely doing that. So your story is just like most stories, right? You have a crisis of some point, right? Sick and tired of being sick and tired. What do? I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do something, right? So you start doing something. Somebody notices. You get a different opportunity and a bigger opportunity, speaking in front of 250 women, and you're gaining momentum. But I'm also personally interested because I've heard you talk about this bits here and there, but there is a point to where you had something, you weren't sure what the something really was or what it was going to be. But then I want to hear about this process where you dipped into your 401k and paid for your own coach.
Yeah, that was scary. Very, very scary. And I've got a story for a guy who actually came and decided to do the mastermind with us yesterday, because it just brought all that back to me. So in 2015, I started the podcast, and I really kind of thought once we launched the podcast, that's when things really kind of took off. And I'll never forget it. It was probably like right around episode like 30 something. Like I was like, wow, maybe there's something here. And when I say there's something here, that had nothing to do with like, oh, well, like how much money can I make at this as a business? When I mean something here, I was like, wow, like I'm getting these messages that these podcasts are really resonating with people. And like, but you know, when you get messages like that, you're like, okay, like, well, what more value can I give? Or like, how do I structure this? Because as a content creator, sometimes you're not the best strategy. You're not Correct. The best strategist. Right. You're more like an artist, you know, and the artists, they need like the COO, right? Be like, yes. Yeah. You need the talent. Right. So, I went ahead and I reached out to one of my best mentors, and that's Aaron Walker, who runs a fantastic organization called View from the Top. It's a high-end mastermind. It is not inexpensive to do that, but he really teaches a lot of people to put first things first and to create businesses, and he's a Christian and all that. So he came to, I went to him and I was like, hey, you know, I think I want to join your mastermind. He's like, well, if you want to do it, it's $500 a month, you know, but you know, we're going to give you what you need. And plus I was trying to cover costs of podcast production and, you know, site platforms and all kinds of things. And I just, my wife came and talked to me. She's like, you know, this is getting really expensive. You know, and this is coming out of our personal funds. And so I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to give myself a shot at this, then I need to pay for it. So I took an $18,000 loan against my 401k to give myself some cash to play with, to do this mastermind, to pay for podcasts and other startup expenses and that kind of thing, just to give myself enough to where I wasn't stressed out. Because the conversation that I had with Aaron Walker at the time, which leads me to this other story with this gentleman I spoke to yesterday, was I was like, Aaron, I don't have $500 to spend. Like, I'm not going to do this. And he's like, Larry, I invite you to think about this a little bit differently. He's like, when you invest in yourself, it is not a cost. When you invest in yourself, it's an investment. And here's what I invite you to think about. Don't look at this as a cost. He's like, if you come and do life with us, it's going to cost you an hour of your time a week. It's going to cost you $500 a month. But I invite you to think about what's the cost if you do nothing. Mm-hmm. A year from now, are you going to be twiddling your thumbs, still wondering what to do with this? And I was like, that's a good point. So I went ahead and I dove in, and I was in that mastermind for probably, I planned to be there for 3 months. I was there for almost a year. I had a conversation with Aaron and I said, I don't know. I still don't know exactly where I'm supposed to go with this. And he's like, I think you failed to see what's right in front of you. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, well, we run a mastermind for Christian men who are entrepreneurs. He's like, have you ever thought about running a mastermind for fathers, the everyday father who needs something similar to what we have? And I was like, that's a good point. Again, Aaron, Captain Obvious. So we launched the mastermind in 2016, and it's been a wonderful experience ever since. But here's where I'll share this quick story about investing in yourself and taking a loan against 401k and all that. I talked to a gentleman yesterday who I spoke to, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I spoke to him 2.5 years ago because he applied to do the mastermind with us 2.5 years ago. And I saw his name and I was like, I think I remember this name. And then I saw him and I was like, I think I've talked to this guy before, but it's been a while. And he told me right away, he was like, I don't know if you remember me or not, but we spoke 2.5 years ago. I was like, oh, I was like, okay. And I saw his application. He wants to come and do life with us because he wanted to create a legendary marriage with his wife. And it was 2.5 years ago. I was like, well, okay, well, bring me up to speed. Like, because in your application, you talk about creating a legendary marriage. He was like, well, you know, nothing's changed. You know, I hoped it would have gotten better and it didn't. And we're more roommates and we're barely intimate and we don't talk about anything deep. We talk about only the surface level stuff. And the time we spend together is usually watching a Netflix, something that we're watching together. We don't go out on dates. We don't connect. And it's pretty much, I feel like I'm living with a friend. And I was like, that's interesting. And so we talked more about it and I was like, so, you know, are you ready to, and I got the feel with this guy that he still was not convinced to come and do life with us. And I completely and totally called him out on it. And I was like, we'll call him Jim, because I'm not going to give out his name. I was like, Jim, can't help but think you're still not ready to do this. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's the cost. It's the cost of it. And I was like, yeah, it's $100 a month to come and do life with us. You know, it's $100 a month and it's an hour of your time a week. There's a cost. And he's like, yeah, I just don't know if I want to take that cost on. And I was like, I get that. And I told him this. I was like, listen, I am not in the business to sell anybody to come and do life with us who's not ready. In fact, if you're not ready to do this, don't do it, because that's contagious.
Right.
Yeah. You will infect other men who are excited to be here and you're not. So this is, I said, I say this to you because I care. I said, Jim, you and I spoke 2.5 years ago. You wanted to work on your marriage then. It's now 2.5 years later and you've lost 2.5 years of something that could have been elevated and it's not. What I invite you to think about is not the $100 a month and the hour of your time a week, but I invite you to think about, if you were to fast forward your life 6 months from today and you did nothing, what will that cost you? Because if you come and do life with us for 6 months and it's $600, or if things are not nearly, if they're the exact same or worse and you lose your marriage, what's the cost on that? What's the financial impact on that? What's the mental impact on that? What's the emotional impact on that? And what is that going to do to your two kids?
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, listen, I am not pressuring you. This is your call. And it's okay. There's no shame. There's no guilt. But you have to decide which one of these you are willing to pay, because you're going to pay one way or the other. So it's up to you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so what do you want to do? And he's like, I'll think about it. And I was like, okay, no problem. 3 minutes later, can you send me the registration link? And he joined immediately. But I think that sometimes for men, it's really, really hard. And going back to your original question, you know, I took a risk, you know, taking money out against my 401k. But I was like, if I don't do something, it was still in the back of my mind. What if I do nothing? And then what? Will I live with regrets? And I wasn't willing to live with a regret. So that's why I did that.
Lots of stuff I can dig in on that one. But bridge for me, you know, your wife, Jessica, saying, hey, this has costed us money. Hey, you're right. Let me borrow against my 401k. Like, how did that go?
She was, you know, honestly, she was pretty cool with that, because yeah, she handles the cash flow and I handle like our retirement, our investments, mm-hmm, and that kind of thing. So I, you know, of course I asked her, I was like, hey, I'd like to do this. And, you know, I'll pay it back. Either way, I'll either put more, if I completely lose it, I'll up my percentages, be more aggressive for the next couple of years to make up for it, pay it back. If it does work out, it works out.
Nice.
And she was like, yeah, she was like, that'd be great. It felt better for her to be like, yeah, take something out of our retirement instead of our cash flow, because it's, you know, some of your expenses are kind of killing me right now.
So, you're well immersed in the coaching world, in the self-help world, and through you being a student through your podcast. And so some of the things that you said are taglines, and they're guru speak. And that's a book that I have in my hopper, Guru Speak. kind of breaking down some of those taglines. And I learned them, you know, prior to coming to the, you know, to the Alliance and to the Mastermind, because I was in my own self-development process and whatnot prior to finding you and what you were doing. But, you know, the two things, you know, the time's going to pass regardless. You know what I mean? And so when somebody is looking at, you know, do I bite this investment off, this cost off, right? But the time's going to pass. It's going to, you know, the 5 years are going to come and go, and then you're going to look back and like, what do I do with that? You know, so the time's always going to go by. And like you said, the way I talk about it is that you're going to pay for it. It doesn't, that's not a question, right? You're going to pay for it. The difference is, are you going to pay for it now, or you're going to pay for it later? And if you pay for it later, it's going to cost you way more than the cost right now is going to be. And just like all the things that you said, not only is the value going to go up of whatever you're potentially looking at in terms of a coaching package or whatever it is, but as other things in your life degrade and erode, that's going to cost you significantly more down the road as well. So you're going to pay, that's a given, right? But do you want to pay on your terms, or do you want to pay, you know, on the way that fate is currently, you know, impacting and dictating your life? And I just know it's true in my life. And it's, you know, you say that you're not selling anybody, right? But you're speaking from the heart. I mean, you're speaking from a place of, yep, been there, done that, asked all the same questions, went through all the same struggle. And I can tell you, matter of factly, that this was one of the best things I ever did in my life. I'm working with a fitness coach right now, and paying this person to do virtual fitness coaching. And that was a huge mental struggle for me to get over. And it's by far one of the best investments I've ever made.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's something to be said, and I think that's awesome, by the way. So a couple of reflections. Number one, you are a tremendous asset to our group. I mean, I just tagged you in a post from a struggle from another man, and I was just like, wow, man, this particular issue that this gentleman brought up was beyond, like, wow, I don't know that. Like, but who would know a thing or two about that? Oh, that's Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick would know a thing or two about that. So you have provided, not to mention your content that you create. So every month we have content. You created a 4-week content course for us that we got to go through in our mastermind program. And Nick, no kidding around, like, probably the best content we've ever had on anger resolution. The leadership team that we have raved about it. The members raved about it. And now we're all screwed, because no matter what we launch from here on out as content, it's not going to be nearly as good as Nick's, you know? So it was just so good. The other thing too, I did the 75 hard last September, and there's no way. I actually did it with an accountability partner, and he did it with me, but I paid him to do it with me. So I'm like, if I don't have skin in the game, I will cheat. I will fudge this. I'll grab Twix. You know, I'll have a beer on the weekend and no one will know. But if I know that I'm paying you and you're my accountability partner, I will do it.
Yep.
So I think when we have skin in the game, absolutely, when you got skin in the game, you're going to execute. And I think that's awesome, especially with your fitness. You know, so many of us try to go at that by ourselves, and it's trying to achieve some fitness goals by yourself. Like, I love waking up early, and I have a good friend of mine that I meet every morning at the gym. If he was not there, oh, that snooze bar would be going off. I would probably make the gym 30% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, oh, I could go at 9, you know. But if I know he's there, if he's in my driveway because he lives down the street from me, there's no way that I'm going to be having him wait, you know, because that accountability is key.
So I'll give a plug, and thank you for that. And I really enjoyed doing that content. That was a struggle for me as well, because I said yes, and then COVID hit and all that garbage was going on in my life and working in correction. So, you know, thank you for being patient with me through that. Looks like it was worth the wait. And that is something that I'm working at putting forward into more of an enduring product, and so working hard to get that out there in a format that's consumable to a wider audience. So appreciate the opportunity there.
Oh man, that content, it would be a blessing to so many people, and not just men, but women too. Like I still, like, to this day, just kind of give you some props. Like, I'm still like, okay, am I the campfire with trickles of gasoline? Am I the volcano, you know, or am I the guy walking around with the grenade with the pin out, you know?
Yeah.
a lot of times, man, it's just like my kids, like, I try to do that fine and good, and I'm losing my patience internally. And my two older kids are very tuned in. Dad, you look really stressed out. I'm not stressed out at all.
Right.
As I hold this grenade up with the pin out.
Yeah. Too fun. And there were some people that actually were sent me messages that were, they were kind of ticked off at me. Right?
What? Because you rattled their cages. They're like, how does Nick know me so well? Is that why?
It was like, dude, how come you didn't give this to me 2 freaking years ago?
Right. How about that?
You know, it would have saved me all of this stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's Warren Buffett that says that the only investment that's guaranteed to pay off is the investment that you make in yourself. And that's guru speak as well. But from your perspective, what holds people back from A, kind of embracing that truth, and two, actually throwing themselves into it? Like, from your vantage point, you know, what keeps anybody, or particularly a father from taking that risk and jumping into a personal development process or project?
That's a really good question. So I think there's a couple things there. The first thing that I can tell you is guilt. Guilt is a big one, because, so financially speaking, men have a hard time hiring a coach or a mastermind, because they're like, well, I can't possibly take money out of my family's account for me to be better. Like, and here's where the should starts happening. I should be fine to do this on my own. Fatherhood should be something that comes easy to me. Marriage should be something that comes easy to me, and I can't possibly ask for help. So I would say guilt is one. The other one is the perception of time. Mm-hmm. And this one drives me a little crazy.
You just did a live about it the other day, I think.
I did. It was called Tough Love. And, you know, we've got 24 different call teams that meet on a weekly basis. And some guys, when they're like, yeah, I just haven't had the time, I'm like, no, you're not prioritizing the time. And the way I broke it down in that particular live video is like, look, there's 168 hours in a week. If you sleep 7 hours a night, that's roughly 49, 50 hours a week, right? So right there, now you still have 118. Even if you work 60 hours a week, you still have 50 something hours left. Now, I totally get the fact that we've got games, we've got schedules, we've got T-ball practices, we've got family dinners. I get it. 1 hour of your time per week just for you. Okay. And here's the thing. It's not that we don't have time. That's not it. It's that you're not disciplined to make that time a priority. The same thing goes for, like, hey, could I do something that feels better with my time at 5 a.m. in the morning versus go to the gym? Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is sleep. I would love to sleep another hour, or I could knock out, you know, how much work I could get done before my family gets up. The other thing too is, you know, speaking to spiritual people, you know, or people that go to church, Sunday morning rolls around, it's 10 a.m. I mean, do you have time to go? Of course you have time to go, but you're like, oh, you know what? Like, family breakfast and coffee with my wife, or, you know, that thing that I need to do. Maybe I'll catch up on some work before the week gets started. It's not that you don't have time. It's that you're not disciplined to make it a priority. Sure. So that's, I think it's a perception of time. You do have the time. You have to make the time.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too is there's an ego factor there. You know, men, our favorite two answers for every single question is fine and good. How's life? Fine. How's work? Good. How are the kids? Fine. We're all fine. So when you reach out to a tribe. I mean, you know this, Nick. Counseling is no different. Oh, if I hire a counselor, oh, that means that something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. That means I need help. And if I need help, I'm broken. And man, that is not true. One of the most reassuring things for me to hear, I will never forget this episode. It was with Chris Synog, who's actually in our group. He's a former Navy SEAL sniper. And he lives by this acronym called TEAMS. And of course, he learned it in the SEALs.
Right.
And he's like, do you know what the A stands for? It stands for ask for help. And I was like, and I heard, this is from an elite operator, Navy SEAL. I'm like, right. Ask for help. Like, these guys are the baddest dudes on the planet. They don't need anybody. That's not true. The reason those guys are so successful is because they have a team, they have a tribe, and when they need help, they ask for it. Yeah. So asking for help, I think a lot of men have a hard time swallowing the ego and asking for help.
Right. It's guilt and ego and in concept of time.
Yes, sir.
Those are the three hurdles.
Those are the three biggest hurdles. I mean, yeah. Do you see anything different? I mean, you've been in, you know, development space for a long time. What else do you see?
I think, you know, I'm a big fan of, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And so I think there's that peer pressure, right? If, you know, what would happen if my buddies found out I'm going to counseling? Right. What would happen if I have to say no to, you know, whatever my fantasy football draft, because, you know, my wife and I are going to this, you know, how to make our marriage better thing. Right. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the basis for my project here, The Upgraded Life, meaning, you know, standard good, fine chat, as you were talking about it, right. You could go to the office and you could say something like, yeah, man, my TV is kind of going on the fritz. I think I'm going to buy a new one. And you would generate all kinds of conversation and buzz and follow-up and even potential social gatherings at your home to come see the new TV that you bought, right? I mean, that's a socially acceptable conversation to have. But if you were to be, you know, sitting around the water cooler and saying something like, man, I'm just not getting what I want out of this life. I think I need to upgrade my life. I don't think I'm going to hire a coach. I'm going to go to this. That's just like nobody wants to talk about that. Right. And why is that? Why are we so excited about a new car, a new TV, a new whatever? But the topic of, you know, improving ourselves as people just really falls flat. So I think it's a distraction piece too, that sometimes that gets in the way. Like you don't want to admit to your brother or your sister or to your aunt or whatever else that you're doing. That's because they look at you and it's their own stuff. Or it's like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? And that's where the shoulds come from. Right.
Oh, so you're broken. Is that what happened?
Right. Do you think I'm broken too? You know?
Yeah, maybe. No, I'm
I think
not
it's the
broken.
Influence. I think it's the influence that you have, that, you know, whether it's intentional or not, conscious or not, it's that, you know, that influence that you currently have in your life, which, you know, maybe you had the same experience where when you kind of go down this path, it's kind of like the red pill path, right? You start kind of detaching and disassociating with some of these other people that were actually kind of frankly holding you back. And that's tough for people.
Agreed. I feel like, you know, I think about the movie, The Matrix, right? You talked about the red pill and the blue pill. I think having a good mentor in your life is a lot like Morpheus and Neo. You know, Neo was the one. He was the one before he met Morpheus.
Right.
All Morpheus did was get him out of his own way.
Right.
Right. And sometimes that's exactly what a good teacher, a good coach, a good mentor will do for you. I mean, think about coaches that work with an athlete. You know, Tom Brady's got three different coaches that work with him to make sure that he's doing exactly what he needs to do.
Right.
They point out your blind spots. They help you objectively be better, and they know your potential. So it's like when you can lock into someone who's operating just a bit higher than you, or they can help you unlock potential. I mean, my gosh, like life is too short. Why would you not want to do that?
Right. Yeah. And it's that, you know, I think our society is built around comfort, and it's built around trying to convince us that everything is good and fine. Right. And so we have that, you know, so I talk about, I help people go on a media diet. And I think that we talk about, you know, all these other things to improve our overall health, but, you know, being really conscious about the media that you're taking in is also huge too, because it's just, I had an old college professor in the late 90s, and he was an old guy back then, and he would still use a typewriter. Like, you know, he still had like correction tape on his stuff, you know? And his name was Dr. McBride, and he would stand in, doesn't matter what class it was, whatever lecture, you could guarantee he was going to say this at some point in his lecture. He'd say, "Class, you know why the television was invented?" And he'd pause. He'd look around. And this would happen year after year if I was a psych major. "Television was invented to sell you products. So every time you're watching television, you need to ask, what am I being sold?" And then he would move on to whatever, you know what I mean? But, and it's so true, right? It doesn't matter what the show is. It was invented to sell products. And so what are you being sold? And I think we tune into things and we don't even realize that we're being programmed, you know,
yeah,
about what to do.
The best is the infomercial. You're like, you're like, why does anybody actually watch this? Well, maybe I need a knife that cuts a penny. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's one of our favorite stories in our house with our family. My oldest, he was probably 6 or 7 at the time. And he had his own TV kind of set up in his little play area. And it was right kind of off the kitchen. So we could be in the kitchen and have direct sight of him. It's just the way the house was laid out. And he comes running into the kitchen one day. And he says, "Mom and Dad, we need those green bags on the TV because it'll help us save money because our food will last longer in our refrigerator." Just
like, right. Yeah. The bananas stay great for a long time.
Yeah. So it does certainly work. So you've used this phrase and thrown it around in our conversation a couple times, and I want to make sure that we at least kind of explain it a little bit for people that are listening to this podcast. But the phrase or the concept mastermind, break that down. What is a mastermind? Because when I use that language or that phrase, you know, in my normal context, people don't know what it is. So what's a mastermind?
That's a really good question. So, you know, whenever I'm talking to a gentleman who applies to be a part of our mastermind, I ask him, "Have you ever been a part of a mastermind?" Usually the answer is no. "Do you know what they are?" Not really. And then I just ask him, "Are you a spiritual person?" Most of the guys I talk to are. And even if they're not, I'm like, "Are you familiar with the Bible study?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I was a part of one." Well, you were a part of a mastermind then, because a Bible study is a spiritual mastermind. A mastermind is a group of people who have a shared purpose and a connection based on a foundation and values that they want to become more proficient, they want to live their life by, and they tap into each other's experiences and learnings to incorporate those in their own life so they can go and then operate within those particular values in that direction. And they want to hold themselves accountable to live that life. And they want a core group of people to win life when things hit the fan. They can go to these people and say, "Hey, I'm torn here, or this is going on for me, and that's going on for me." And then these people around you can objectively look at your situation and give you usually extremely good advice based on what they hear and see. Because when we are, and you know this better than anybody, when we are so emotionally charged by whatever experience that is we're going through, maybe we're having issues with our marriage, or maybe we're dealing with a kid who's defiant, or maybe we have issues with our own father and we don't know exactly how to have a conversation of how to, you know, make things better, or maybe it's, you know, we're drained by our workplace, but we just don't know what else to do. When we're so emotionally vested in those situations, it's very, very hard, right, to think logically. And you know this, but if I come to you, Nick, and I'm like, "Man, like, Nick, I was like, my son is driving me crazy. Like, he's being so defiant, and he's talking back to me, and I've done this and I've done that." And I'm coming to you with anger and sadness and anxiety. And when you have all that, right, you can't think logically. Sure. But if I tell you these things, you can see things very, very differently than I can. And you're like, "Hey, Larry, have you thought about doing this?" No. I'm going to try that. And it's like, it's a lot of these things, it's like Captain Obvious to someone who's outside of our circle, and they're able to advise us. Or with you, right? You've got 20 plus years of experience, you know, counseling others and doing the work that you do, plus you're a father, plus you're a husband. So you have all these experiences that you've been through yourself. And it doesn't matter if you've got, you know, 20 years of counseling experience and you've been a father for so, but other people have different experiences throughout their life. They're like, hey man, I've been down the road that you're going through and I get where you're at. Let me share with you how I overcame. And that's what a mastermind really is. So in a Bible study, the mastermind is the word of God. It's the Bible. And hey, how do we operate within that realm in our life and surround ourselves with people to hold us accountable to do that? Within, you know, Dad Edge, it's those five pillars. It's the five dimensions. It's finances. It's your health. It's marriage. It's parenting and being a leader. So those are the things that we're always wanting to optimize. Mm-hmm. And we are absolutely blessed with men who have been fathers for 5 minutes and men who have been fathers for 30, 40 years,
right,
and everything in between. And it's the same thing with marriage. It's the same thing. We have men who are incredibly good with finances and men who just aren't. Yeah. And we have men who are, as you know, men who are proficient with fitness and men who aren't. So it's like whatever gifts and talents that these men have, we really complement each other and you can really tap into those, to that knowledge base, that experience, to be held accountable to operate and differently in your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I almost 2 years being part of the Alliance, the Dad's Edge Alliance, and it took me about 4 or 5 months to kind of really figure out, get acclimated to what it was. And I was familiar with the mastermind concept, but I was the first one that I actually, you know, I've been part of Bible studies for sure. And I like that corollary there. But once I kind of adjusted to it, because I'm not your typical person to probably enter your mastermind, or maybe I am, right? But I didn't find myself in the same level or degree of struggle that a lot of the guys that come in. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, how to situate myself in this. But once I did that, man, the thing, like you said, I mean, virtually anything that you need to come across in terms of a problem or a question, there's gonna be somebody in that Dad's Edge Alliance that is a legitimate expert in whatever that is. Doesn't matter what it is, right? And for $100 a month to be part of that, you get access to people like me. And that's not about me being special, but you get access to somebody who has a PhD in counseling and 20 years practical experience for $100 a month. You get access to somebody who is a multimillionaire in real estate investing and in development. You get access to fitness people. You just name it. You can just name anything that you want to know more about and be better about. There is a legitimate expert in the Alliance. And for $100 a month, you're silly not to pay that, right? Dwayne Peters helped me fix some plumbing thing on the outside that if I had called a plumber to come address that, it would have been an automatic $100 just for the person to show up.
Oh, yeah.
just to show up.
To show up, yeah.
So I videoed it and said, what do I do with this? And he's like, oh, you just do this and this. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Cause it took me about 4 or 5 hours. It would have been a whole weekend project for me if I hadn't had, you know, the lifeline of Dwayne Peters right there. So that alone is worth $100, right?
Yeah. I mean, every man has got gifts and talents out there. And the really cool thing about, I really feel this, upgrading your circle of influence. You know, there is nothing wrong with having friends from high school. There's nothing wrong with having friends from college. There's nothing wrong with having a beer and talking about the good old days. But man, I want someone that I can go to, that I trust, that I look up to, mm-hmm. that is probably more proficient in relationships. When Jessica and I are walking through a valley and I'm just like, I don't know what to do right now.
Right.
Because we're not communicating like we used to. There's more tension than what we're used to having. We're not having sex as often as we were. And I'm trying as a man to fix this and make it better. And I'm running out of ideas. And I got to tell you, one of my neighbors, I'm having dinner with him on Thursday. That conversation is not going to happen because he's not there, right? He's not that guy. He's not that circle of influence that he probably is going to be the guy that I would go to, right? We're going to go and we're going to joke. We're going to cut up. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat some sushi. But I can go to anybody in our group and do that. And I know I am not, I know I'm going to get real time, genuine experiential advice, that something that I can grab onto and be like, okay, that feels good to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go try that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something about upgrading that circle of influence that makes life a little bit easier to live. Yes. Right. Yes. The Upgraded Life Podcast. There you go.
Absolutely. One of my mentors in my network marketing business is Richard Brook. And he says that exact same thing. And it really spoke to my heart when I was really listening to his book. He wrote a book called Mach 2 With Your Hair on Fire. Talks about how to build your inner vision for creating the life that you want. And it really spoke to me. I was just painting my deck a couple weeks ago and to this topic, because it can be when you're trying to adjust the people in your life that have influence, it can kind of make you lonely for a little bit, right? Because if you are trying to, you know, lessen the influence of people like you're talking about, but one of Richard's core values is fun, legitimately is fun. And he's like, look, I have my group of friends that I have fun with. And I have my group of people that I trust, right? And those two things don't all, you know, always are mutually exclusive, right? You have fun with your neighbor and have sushi and kick back and cut it up, but are you asking him for financial advice? Probably not, and that's okay, right? And so he's like, Richard was saying, I spend you know, at least half my time with people that I want to have fun with. And I was like, okay, you know, and kind of lessen that pressure, right? You're a big, one of your big sayings is men are extreme, right? And so when you get down this path, you can get extreme and cutting out all these other people in your life. But Richard was like, no, have fun with those people. You understand their role and purpose in your life and do those things, but don't trust them with, you know, hey, should I do this investment option or that investment option, right? So that really spoke to my heart too, and kind of lifted a weight off my shoulders around that. Just knowing who those people are in your life. Yeah. And it's okay to have fun. It's okay to purposely, intentionally build in, hey, I'm going to go do this with this group of guys because it's just going to be flat out fun. And that's okay.
It's totally okay. You know, to have those, you know, I'm not going to go to this same neighbor for financial advice. I'm going to go to my good friend who's a financial advisor.
Right.
You know, right now I'm doing a year and a half in-depth mentorship on Bible study with someone that I highly regard, who's way more proficient and educated with the Bible than I am. So he's teaching me, you know, and if I need that type of advice, I have those people who I feel that are elevated in those areas that I can have a deeper conversation with. And not only a deeper conversation, but you can be more authentic and vulnerable of like, I don't know this stuff. Can you help a brother out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if I needed help with my anger, I'd go to you.
There you go.
You know, if I need help with patience, I go to Nick. So, cause he's very helpful in that realm.
Awesome. Yeah. we're up against the hour, and I try to keep these to about that. We could keep going. There's things that I know about you that we could talk and talk and talk. Mr. Vegan, Mr. Seal Fit on your shirt there. I'm really interested in your relationship with Mark Divine, but we'll save that for another time. One of the things I ask everybody that comes on my show though is that term mindset, what does that mean to you? And then I'm going to ask you, what is something that you can offer me and my audience as a practical thing that they could do as soon as they turn this off to boost their personal mindset? So what's mindset mean to you?
Well, so you mentioned Mark Divine. Mark Divine taught me, gosh, such a good lesson. I went to Unbeatable Mind Retreat back in 2015, and it was hours and hours of education. And one thing that I got out of that was quality of your life depends on the quality of questions you ask yourself and those around you. And sometimes our default questions, actually not sometimes, but a lot of times are really, really poor questions. So, you know, you at the beginning of the show, you mentioned COVID, right? And so maybe sometimes the best way to share a lesson is through story. So when COVID hit, it was over Easter, and for the past 24 years, my entire family, all four boys, my wife, we go to my wife's aunt's, where she has 70 people in her family that have a big blowout for Easter. The Easter bunny shows up, there's libations for the adults. We all hang out. The kids have just a blast. There's over 35 kids that are involved with that family. And it's awesome. We look forward to it every year. It's kind of like Easter Mardi Gras for us. Mm-hmm. And my kids look forward to it every year. And we woke up this year And we woke up with that sort of heavy feeling of like, wow, like we're not able to see family and the kids won't see the Easter bunny and there's no Easter egg hunts and it's just not the same. And it feels terrible. Anytime we're faced with any obstacles, like we sort of have that heavy feeling. And then when we have that heavy feeling, as you know, with all the work that you do, we start asking ourselves really, really poor questions. Why does it got to be like this? Why can't we have Easter like we usually do? Why can't we see family? Or if it's like, if it's within your marriage, why can't I be a better communicator? If you're a father, why can't I be a more patient father? Those questions, what Mark taught me in that retreat was when you're asking yourself any question with why can't I, or even a question of why sometimes, it's a really poor question. And what your brain is like Google, whatever you ask Google, it's going to get you an answer. You ask, why can't you be a more patient father? Oh, well, you know why you can't be a more patient father? It's because, you know, you're not a good communicator. You're working way too hard. You're way too burnt out. You're always saying no to something. Like all these really defeating answers come back. So on Easter, we woke up like, why can't we do that? Why does COVID have to be here? Why do we got to be quarantined? And my wife and I looked at each other over morning coffee before the kids got up. And I said, you know what? How might we, that's the question. How might we make this Easter more profound and more connected, and we experience something that we've never had. And when we go to bed tonight, we high five each other, knowing that we had probably one of the best Easters ever. How do we make that happen? And so my wife and I kind of scratched our head and we're like, well, let's ask the kids what they want to do. So we had breakfast and we're like, hey guys, as we know, this Easter is not like any other, but how might we do things as a family we've never done? How do we connect in a way we never have and have an Easter we've never had before? How do we do that today? What ideas do you have? And my 12-year-old was like, can we play flag football as a family? Yes, we can do that. My 6-year-old was like, can we eat chocolate Easter bunnies for dessert? Yes, we can absolutely do that. My 14-year-old was like, can we play Pictionary tonight after dinner? Yes, we can absolutely do that. So we did all these things, all those things. My wife was even the quarterback during flag football. And we went to bed that night. Our entire family was elevated and we had an Easter that will go down in the memory books. And it all came from asking yourself a better question versus the why can't we question versus the how might we question. And that was just such a profound, it's such a simple shift in our mind. And it can create something absolutely amazing, even if it's small. You know, like no matter what experience or what thing or what situation you're about ready to walk into, the how might we question or the how might I question will work wonders for you.
Awesome. I love that. And there's lots of neuroscience that just proves that too, that your brain is designed for one thing, which is to keep you alive. So if you ask it a question, it does turn into Google and gives you all the answers. So if you say, man, this situation is going to suck, your brain's going to tell you 1,000 reasons why this situation is going to suck. But if you change that to how might we, then your brain's going to fill in all those holes too. That's just the way it is. And you can either fight that or you can accept it. I choose to accept it and I teach other people to accept that. And so I love that thing that you learned from Mark Divine is that your quality of life equals the quality of the questions that you ask.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful mindset upgrade tip there. All right. Really appreciate you and the time that you've given me because I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot of things going on. Larry, there's going to be men and women that, you know, for the men, they're going to be in that situation where I'm struggling as a man, maybe much like you were, you know, back in 2012 when this was all kicking off for you. And there's going to be women that are going to, you know, look at their husbands and this was my scenario. My wife looked at me for many years and saw the potential in me that I wasn't living up to. And that's where her edge came from. It wasn't about her trying to be a nag or all these things. She flat out knew that I wasn't, you know, being the person that I was meant to be. So for those two people that are listening, the woman or the man, what would you say to them? Legacy is forever. So what would you say to them about their course as a man and a fatherhood? What kind of encouragement would you offer them?
You know, I use this quote a lot, and that is, you know, the definition of hell is meeting the person that we could have been when we're on our deathbed. And that particular thought will shake you by the shoulders you know, and rattle your cage. Because so many of us, men or women, you know, we are on, and we don't do this on purpose, and it doesn't mean we're bad people, but we're living in automatic pilot. You know, we're living in the drift where life is managing us. We're not managing it. We're not capturing these moments. We're not living with intention that we really want to. And the true thing is we just need a reminder of how to do that. We're not necessarily, like you said, our brains are meant to keep us alive. They're not necessarily designed to allow us to live legendary. They're allowing you to keep you breathing and keep you moving, right? But not to live like this epic life. You got to be very intentional and purposeful about that. So I would say, you know, if you're really wanting to upgrade your life, upgrade the people that you're surrounding yourself with. Ask yourself better questions, exactly what we just said. And to understand, you know, I saw this meme yesterday on Instagram that some people right now are fighting to breathe and they're on their last day. If you woke up today, count your blessings. So it's a very powerful reminder, especially within the world we live today, where we're dealing with a pandemic right now. If you wake up breathing every day and you're healthy and you're around your family, man, capture that and ask yourselves, how might I make today better, or how do I make this day more purposeful, more intentional, and create more memories and connections than I ever have? And that will really help.
Yeah. When I was teaching counselors, I would teach them, train them to treat every session as if it was going to be your last session with that client, because you can't guarantee another session. Life happens, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, my friend, tell the folks how to find you, find your podcast, and then tell them what the process would be for them to apply and potentially join the Alliance.
Yeah, so if you want to find everything we're doing, gooddadproject.com is where everything is. The podcast is there. You can find the podcast literally everywhere. I think the only channel we're not on right now is Pandora. We're trying to get on that though right now. And as far as the mastermind goes, if you go to gooddadproject.com/alliance, you'll find out more information of how we operationally, you know, operate that community. But there's also an application process. The application process is very simple. It's only about 5 questions. But what it does is it just allows me to get to know your situation just a little bit before you and I speak. And then after you apply, I personally shoot you a text, and I send over my calendar link for us to schedule some time to just get to know each other and just decide if it's a good fit. It's not a sales pitch, not a sales pitch. Both sides of us have to agree that it's a good move for us to do. So there have been times I've said no. There have been times other men have said no. And then there are times where we both say yes. So if it's something that's on your mind and heart, if you're wanting more accountability and optimize what we talked about, those 5 dimensions, that's what we do over there. And we've got amazing men like Nick in there who provide incredible content for us and direction. And so that's just the start of it.
Awesome. Yeah. And I, you know, can't plug it enough. I think it's one of the best things out there. If somebody's trying to dip their toe into a mastermind or personal development, the value that's packed in the Dad Edge Alliance, I dare somebody to find something that has more value that comes along with that $100. How many call teams of folks do you have operating right now?
24
call teams. Yeah. So every week those 24 call teams are spread out different days of the week and different times of the day. And you just link in through Zoom, and there's an agenda that guides us every month. And that agenda is action packed and going to do all kinds of things for you that you never thought possible.
Agreed.
All right, my friend, I really appreciate you for coming on the show. Thank you for speaking to me and my audience, and hopefully we'll do it again because there's a lot more that we can cover.
Agreed, man. This is so much fun.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
I got to say, that has got to be one of my best episodes thus far. So grateful to Larry Hagner and blessing me and you, my audience, with his time. And I just benefited a ton from his story. There is a lot of courage in there. There's a lot of grace in there. There's a lot of self-discovery. There's a lot of forgiveness. It's just a ton wrapped into one man's story. And to be able to get a behind-the-scenes view and exposure for what it took for him and his wife, I'll give her credit in this too, to go from super scary concept, super scary idea, and then bringing it forward to what it is now. He is making an impact on the lives of fathers and in the next generations. I know that because I found Larry through his mastermind. I am one of the members of the Dad's Edge Alliance and have been so for almost 2 years. And I can tell you my life has been better because of it. So if you want to know more about Larry, about the Dad's Edge, go over to his website, look it up, check out his podcast. This guy pumps out 2 or maybe 3 episodes every week. And the people that he gets to interview, man, he's got quality people on there every single week. It is a must listen if you are any kind of a podcast fan. Add Mr. Hegner's podcast, The Dad's Edge, to your playlist and subscriptions and auto downloads. So the tip that he left us, the mindset upgrade tip, is to change that question why to how might we. And I've used this, I teach this, I train this, and it's an awesome thing to get good at and get skilled at. When things aren't going away, when we have a setback, when trouble is in our midst, avoid the temptation to ask yourself why. Because he's right. He told us your brain is just like Google. When you ask it why, it's going to give you tens of thousands of reasons of why that is. Why didn't I get that promotion? Well, because I didn't do a good job in my interview and my resume wasn't very good and I haven't done enough personal. I mean, that's what your brain does versus how might I, okay, same scenario, I didn't get a job. How might I increase my chances of getting a promotion next time? Ask yourself that question, and that Google brain of yours is going to start telling you all the things that you need to do in order to make yourself more apt to get that promotion next time. So changing the why question to how might I, how might we, that's gold. And I encourage you to apply that. Much love to you. Much love to Larry Hegner. Thank you so much for investing an hour or so of your time into my podcast, into my show. Now, tell me, show me that it was worth it by getting after it and upgrading your life. My website is www.nicksotelo.com/TUL podcast, the Upgraded Life Podcast. While you're over at my website, don't forget to check out the 3 opportunity buttons at the very top. They are scheduling a time with me. I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session. Checking out CBD products from Nature's Ultra. And then also, if you're looking to create an additional stream of income, I can help you out with that too. This takes 20 minutes of your time. Click on the button that says Income Boost. Give me your name and email, and I'll send you a presentation. Thank you again so much for listening to my show, the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm dedicated to this show because I've seen too many people live a life that just really wasn't about realizing and reaching their potential. So if you listen to this show and you were somehow, some way inspired to take action, let me know by going over to Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star review, and that will tell me that you enjoyed the show. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm urging you to do something today to realize and reach your potential, and I'll catch you on the next show.